Thank the Lord for blessing us to be here today. We're so grateful to be here that God has continued to bless us. I'm asking for prayer for Jaleesa. She's trying to find housing in Newark. And every neighborhood in Newark is not a friendly neighborhood. So I'm praying that she'll be able to find a good place to stay. So pray for that with me. Also, Chad and Venetia are celebrating their first anniversary. I asked my wife, do I just give them a dollar or what? She said it doesn't work that way. I want to say congratulations to them for their first anniversary. No, we won't hold you long today. We want to talk about one thing, common sense. It appears today that people do not have common sense, Brother Thomas. The guy broke into the people house. He cut his arm. He dripped blood all the way back to his house. So the only thing the people had to do was follow the blood. The one guy broke into the people's house. He found some Dolphins season tickets. That means you sit in that same seat. And the police went in there on Sunday and found them sitting in the seat. Common sense. It seems people do not have common sense these days. What about this sign? Do not breathe under the water. Why do we have to have signs like this? You know, McDonald's have now on the cup, coffee hot. You know the coffee. If doors open, not open, do not enter. You read it. Okay. All right. This one here. In case of a fire, exit building before tweeting about it. You know, because people are always on their phone. They got to tweet about everything, right? What about this one? Pay attention while walking. Because now you see people walking. They on their phone. They're walking to you. They're walking in front of a car. What we're talking about today is common sense. But when it comes to spiritual things, it's even more important. Because the Bible tells me in the reading that there were 10 spies. Now, these 10 spies God sent to go out and spy out the land. And in Numbers 13, verse 23, and they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and it cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a step. Can you imagine some grapes so big that Brother Williams and I had to have a pole to carry those big grapes? Is the land flowing with milk and honey like God said it was? Well, why won't they go in and take it? You see, it's just common sense to believe God if everything that God has told you is true. It's common sense. Then the Bible says in Numbers 13 and 27, and they told him and said, we have come into the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be too strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled, and they're very great, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak. What do we care about the children of Anak if we have God with us? And I'm trying to get us to understand the world today does not have common sense. If you have God, you have everything. The Bible says in 1 Kings 18, verse 21, and Elijah came to all the people, and he said, now what your people need to do, you need to determine who is God. If God is God, then follow God. But if Baal is God, then follow Baal. But for goodness sake, make a decision. And he said, how long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, then follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. He goes on to say in verse 8 and verse 24, and he said, call you on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answers by fire, let him be God. Okay, we're going to settle this thing, right? You want to know who God is? It's the God that answers by fire. And by fire, we mean lightning. You know, lightning come down, it'll set anything on fire, brother. He says, and all the people answered and said, okay, we'll do that. It's fine. Well, it goes on to say in And 1 Kings 18:28, Brother Williams. 1 Kings 18:28. What happened?
And they cried aloud and cut themselves.
Uh-huh.
After their manner with knives and lances.
Right.
Till the blood gushed out upon them.
Now, do you think they believe in their God? Mm-hmm. They're cutting themselves with knives and they calling on Baal. Baal, come on, Baal. We know you are a God. We know you are a real God. And they keep cutting themselves till the blood gushes out. You think people believe in their religion today? They do things even though God did not instruct them to do it, but they believe in it. All right, keep going, brother.
And it came to pass when midday was passed, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded.
You know why? Because there's only one God.
Amen.
And that's Jehovah. And the problem is they were following the wrong God. Well, we're trying to figure out who's the right God, right? So we're going to have this test. We're going to put down this fire, and we're going to put the animal on the sacrifice, and the God that answered by fire is the true God.
Amen.
And verse 38, Brother Williams, 1 King 18:38. What did he say there, bro?
Then the fire of the Lord fell
and
consumed the burnt offering.
Now, when Elijah prayed... Mm-hmm. They said, God, I knew you always have heard me. And God answered by fire. And the fire, what happened, brother?
Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice.
Uh-huh.
And the wood and
yes.
the stones
uh-huh.
and the dust
uh-huh.
and licked up the water that was in the trench.
There's no ambiguousness here. We all understand this is God.
Amen.
So what happened in 1 Kings 19 and verse 1, Brother Williams? 1 Kings 19 and verse 1.
And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done.
Uh-huh.
And withal how he had slain all the prophets
uh-huh.
with the sword.
Right.
Then Jezebel sent messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow, about this time.
Now, didn't she understand the Lord is God? Mm-hmm. Common sense ought to have told her, if God sent a fire and it knocks down the altar, it knocks down the sacrifice, it laps up the water, that's the true God.
Amen.
The problem is people today don't have common sense. And now she's going to fight against Elijah. You know she's going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
So that's what we want to explore today. Common sense. When it comes to all men are going to die, we should have common sense. You know, as people walking around today think they're going to live forever. Yeah. And they're living their lives as if they don't have to do anything and they don't have to stand before God. Let me tell you this. When you start seeing gray hair pop up on your head and when you start getting shortness of breath, you know you used to walk all day, Brother Daniels. Now your breath gives out on you. And when you start losing your hearing, when you start saying, huh? Have you ever been to somebody's house and that television up so loud? You're like, why you got the TV up so loud? and when you start tasting the food and it has no taste, and when you start having a lack of desire, and when you start having your eyes dim, you know, you used to be able to read that fine print. Now you have to put your arms out here to read. Getting old, you're getting ready, you're getting that way. When you start saying, well, some people say, well, I still wear the same size I wore in high school. But you're still going toward the grave. And when you start to lose the pep in your step, you're going toward the grave. And what I'm trying to tell you is we're all going to die. That should be common sense. But people today, they don't have it. So 1 Kings 22 and verse 2, David says, I go the way of all the earth. What's the way of all the earth? We're all going to die. I remember we used to have a dog called Champ. And Brother Thomas would feed that dog. And you know what? He got out, he died. And I could go all the way back to Bradenton. We had a little fat dog. And we called him Violet. But you know what happened? He died. You know how many loved ones and brothers and sisters that we've had in our lives. You know what happened? And that's just common sense. Shouldn't you prepare yourself? You know what you will do for your family? You will make sure they have grave sites and all this money set aside, but you won't prepare for your soul.
Yeah.
We're going to die. And it's going that way. The Bible says in Psalms 98 and verse 48, 89. What?
Huh? 89.
Oh, I'm sorry, 89. That's dyslexia, brother. What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? We all going to the grave. I remember Brother Nash said one time, I'm going to walk by and look down on you, or you're going to walk by and look down on me. But he said, I'd rather walk by and look down on you than you walking by and looking down on me. But we're all going to do that. We're all going to die. And Job put it this way, a man in 14:1, a man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. You say, well, preacher, I don't know. I don't get it. Well, Ecclesiastes says, all go unto one place. All are of the dust, and all turn to dust. Dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. You say, well, preacher, I'm going to live a long time. You don't know longevity is in my family. We have people who have lived 100 years. We got people who have lived 90-something years. Longevity is in my family. Let me tell you about this. In Genesis 5:5, it says, and all the days of Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. You have anybody in your family live 930 years? And you know what happened? He died. Let me tell you what happened. Also in Genesis 5:8, and all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. In Genesis 5:11, and all the days of Enos was 905 years, and he died. And in Genesis 5:14, and all the days of Cain was 910 years, and he died. And in Genesis 5 and verse 20, all the days of Jared was 962 years, and he died. And of course, we all know Methuselah. Genesis 5:27, all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. We all gonna die. That's common sense. Why wouldn't you prepare for it? Why wouldn't you get ready to meet Jesus? You're gonna meet him whether you wanna meet him or not. I'm asking you today to come out of that aisle and come down this aisle and give me your hand and give Christ your heart and say, God, I'm ready to do something with my life because I know it's coming. When you start losing teeth, you used to be able to jump right out of the bed, Brother Will. Now you hang your feet on the side of the bed and you get your, Brother Thomas used to do like this and get it. We're all going that way, brother. But let me tell you, there's somebody that can conquer death. And it's God. He said, well, I don't believe it. Let me tell you this. He proved it in Daniel chapter 3, verse 24. You remember in Daniel 3:24 with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were cast into the fiery furnace. Now, let me tell you, nobody lives when you're cast into the fiery furnace.
Right.
But if you're with God, he can conquer death. And in Genesis 3, verse 24, Brother William, what does he say there?
Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was a stone.
Uh-huh.
And rose up in haste.
Uh-huh.
And spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?
Yes.
They answered and said unto the king, true, O king.
Mm-hmm.
He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire.
Uh-huh.
And they have no hurt.
Yes.
And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God.
They didn't even smell like smoke. They didn't even smell like smoke. What I'm trying to tell you is God can conquer death. And all of these examples are to prove to you and to prove to me and to prove to all of us that are reading, be with God because he can take care of us.
Amen.
The Bible said in Numbers 21, verse 8, Brother Williams, you remember they made a brazen serpent and they put it on a pole. And now when you see medical symbols, it's a pole with a serpent wrapped around. And as a result of them putting that serpent on that pole, whoever looked upon that pole could be saved when they were bitten by a fiery snake. And it said in Numbers 21, verse 8. What does he say there, brother?
And the Lord said unto Moses,
uh-huh,
make thee a fiery serpent,
uh-huh,
and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten when he looketh upon it, shall live.
Now, what sense does that make? Well, if you were bitten by a diamondback rattler, will you go and get a brazen serpent and put it on a pole?
Look at it. Or were you trying to make it grow?
General, as fast as you can. But see, with God, I'm trying to tell you, he can conquer death.
Amen.
We're not talking about physical death. We're talking about spiritual death. You don't have to die spiritually.
Amen.
I'm trying to tell you about some common sense. And we all caught up in this body. And let me tell you, this body's going. This body's going to the dust.
Amen.
Well, you say, preacher, I need some more examples. Let me give you another one. You remember in Daniel 6:22, you remember when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den? Nobody survives being thrown into a lion's den. Mm-hmm. I don't care if he's not hungry, he's going to tell you apart. You don't mess around with a lion. And Daniel 6:22, brother, what did he say then?
My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth,
mm-hmm.
that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me.
Uh-huh.
And also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt.
I haven't done anything wrong. And God said, all of these are examples of God being able to conquer death. Mm-hmm. You say, well, these are just quaint stories. No, they're much more than that. Yes. Well, let me give you one more. You recall, of course, in Acts 2:23. You remember when Jesus went to the cross, and crucifixion was a horrific death. They would break your bones and they would pierce your body and you would hang up. It's sort of like early 1900s when they hanged people. But this was even worse.
Right.
They would let you hang on that cross and you couldn't get your breath, and it was a horrific. The Romans tried to make it as terrible as they could, and they wanted it to last. So everybody that walked by and saw this person, no, you don't bother the Romans. This would have happened to you if you bothered the Romans. Crucifixion was a terrible death. And in Acts 2:23, Brother Williams, Acts 2:23, what did he say there, brother?
Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God,
uh-huh.
ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain.
Yes.
Whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it.
And just like God raised him up, God will raise you up.
Amen.
I'm trying to give you some common sense. You think the common sense of the world, people don't have the common sense. You're going to die.
Amen.
You need to do something with your life. You need to get yourself right with God, because it's coming.
Yes.
This is just common sense. You keep looking in the sink and it's going to be more hair in the sink than it is on your head. And it doesn't matter if you're a woman, doesn't matter if you're a male, that hair's coming out, brother. And I'm trying to tell you, we need to do something about it now. You know, it's also common sense, Brother Jones, that people will understand you're going to reap what you sow. Whatever you plant, that's what's coming up. Stop treating people so nasty and deplorable and hateful and thinking everything's going to be great and lovely for you. That's not going to happen. That's common sense. If you want watermelons, guess what? You better plant a watermelon seed. And people don't understand that. They think you could treat me any kind of way. Oh, you're a Christian. I could treat him any kind of way. I could get money from him and never pay him back. He's a Christian. As soon as you get upset, you know what they say, Brother Williams? I thought you were a Christian. Oh, man, you're supposed to treat me right. We're supposed to treat each other right. So you're going to reap what you say. I know I'm teaching you all new concepts this morning. That you're going to die and that you're going to reap what you sow. But what this is just plain old common sense. And the Bible says, in Galatians 6, verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Don't think you can fool God now. Don't think you can fool God and think it's going to be all good. No, you better do what God tell you to do. He says, for he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit of the Spirit shall reap everlasting life. You want good things from God, but you don't want to give him any time. You don't want to come to church. You don't want to study your Bible. You don't want to change your life. But you think when you die, that's going to be great. And God says it's going to usher you into heaven, and the violins are going to be playing. I'm telling you, you reap what you sow. I know this is all new concept. And the Bible says in Matthew 10:32, whosoever. Now who is whosoever? That includes every one of us in here. Whosoever therefore shall confess before man now, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before man, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. If you don't confess God, Jesus now, he's not going to confess you on the last day. You say, well, you know, preacher, I don't get all that. I'm just, you know, that religion thing, you better do what Jesus tell you to do. Because he said, whosoever now, you're going to reap what you sow. I'm trying to get you to understand. This is just common sense now. It's common sense. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:11, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Now, how and when can you die with Jesus? How can you die with Jesus, Brother Thomas? I mean, Brother Walker, how can you die with Jesus? In the process of death, burial, and resurrection. The only way you can die with Jesus is to be buried with him in the liquid grave of baptism. And he said, if you be dead with me, with him, you shall live with him. But if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. But if we deny him, he's also going to, at the last day, you're going to want to know, you're going to say, Jesus, you want Jesus to say, oh yeah, I know John Daniel. Oh, I know John. You're going to want Jesus to identify you. But if you deny him, common sense, you reap what you sow. And the world does not have common sense today. They think it's all going to be good. You know, you can spit in people's face. You know, on your job, people try to knock you down and get advancements and all that. Somebody says, now how you get there, as long as you get there. You keep following that stuff if you want to. You'll find you're going to reap what you sow. Brother Williams, in 1 Corinthians 6:9.
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?
Now you want to go to heaven. You want to inherit the kingdom. Now I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to get in there if you do these things. Mm-hmm. You say, well, preacher, I think. You think whatever you want to think. I'm telling you what God says. Mm-hmm. You shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. Keep going, brother.
Be not deceived. Mm-hmm. Neither fornicators, mm-hmm. nor adulterers,
right.
nor adulterers,
uh-huh.
nor effeminate.
Now, what are effeminate? We all know what effeminate is in here. But the world today has gone crazy with this thing. Mm-hmm. And it is on every channel. Now, you know, it was a cartoon. They have it on the, you better watch out for the cartoons now, yeah. man. And they were saying, well, they don't want that on the, well, they said, well, the children need to learn. My children don't need to learn that stuff at age two. Yeah. My children don't need to learn it at all. Uh-huh. And I'm trying to tell you that the Bible say you won't inherit the kingdom of heaven. That's just common sense. Not that we hate, we don't hate. Now, don't go around and say, Brother Jackson, hate this type of people. We don't hate it. We love you enough to tell you the truth.
Amen.
Keep going, brother.
Nor abusers of themselves with mankind.
Now, there's two parts to that party. Mm-hmm. There's two parts to that homosexual relationship, and he's talking about either side of it. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Nor thieves,
mm-hmm.
nor covetous.
Now, you mean to tell me I can't steal and get in the heaven? Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, come on now. Everybody does it. Does everybody take a little something? Is this income tax time yet? No, you got them Social Security numbers that people don't live in your house, right? That guy, I was somewhere out of town. That guy came up to me. He said, preacher, I'm going to go home and change my tax return right now. I guess I made him shame. All right, keep going, brother.
No drunkards?
Uh-huh. Now, what you mean? I can't get drunk. What's wrong with a little toddy? What's wrong with them Coke 45s in the vegetable bin? You know, you keep that, you don't want the preacher to look in the vegetable bin. Keep going, brother.
Nor revilers,
uh-huh.
nor extortioners,
uh-huh.
shall inherit the kingdom of God.
Now, common sense, I'm trying to tell you, you're not going to be able to get in there. You can listen to the world, you can listen to Oprah, you can listen to this person, you can listen to the congressman, you can listen to the president, you can listen to whoever you want, but you better listen to God.
Amen.
He said you won't be able to do it. The Bible also tells me in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, Brother Williams, 2 Corinthians 9, 6. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6.
But this I say, mm-hmm. he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly.
Now that's common sense, right? Mm-hmm. If you want a bunch of watermelons, you have to sow a bunch of seed. Mm-hmm. You don't sow one seed and think you're going to get a bumper crop. But that's the way people think religiously. They think they can give God a little of their time and everything's going to be great. Mm-hmm. Keep going, brother.
And he which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully.
Right.
Every man according as he purposed in his heart.
Now, you don't get to church and you say, well, let me see what I got left. Yeah. No, you already know what you're going to give the Lord up front.
Amen.
Many times we already write our check on Saturday night because mm-hmm. we know what. But you come around and say, I got a dollar in it. And then you say, give me 50 cents back for that dollar. I'll just mess it with you. But that's the way some people are. They give God the leftover. Mm-hmm. And he said, you already need a purpose in your heart. Mm-hmm. All right, keep going, brother.
So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity.
Now, what does it mean by grudging? You remember when you were a kid and the plate used to come by and the little boy, the little baby wouldn't let the money go and you hit his hand on the tray. Let the money go, baby. That's grudgingly. We can't give grudgingly. All right, keep going.
Nor of necessity.
Uh-huh.
For God loveth the cheerful giver.
Now, let me tell you what God loves. A cheerful giver. Mm-hmm. Don't everybody want to know what God loves? Cheerful I'm going to tell you what God loves. He loves a cheerful giver.
Amen.
You ever notice some people, they give all the time. And they always have money to give. Mm-hmm. But the ones who never give, they don't never have any money. Mm-hmm. That's because you don't do anything with what you have.
Right.
But the ones who have and the ones who help, they always seem to be in a position to help. Mm-hmm. Keep going, brother.
And God is able to make all grace abound towards you,
uh-huh.
that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Mm-hmm. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, mm-hmm. he hath given to the poor,
uh-huh.
his righteousness remaineth forever.
Yes.
Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both ministers.
Who gives us the seed?
God.
Who gives the sower the seed?
God.
God gives us the seed. And the more seed you sow, the more seed of God will give you. That's just common sense. You're going to reap what you sow. And stop trying to be so stingy. If people need help, you help them.
Yeah.
Somebody need a meal, you give them a meal. God will take care of you. He always has. Mm-hmm. The question is, you like, well, I don't have but a couple of dollars. I don't know what I'm going to do. You're going to trust on God.
Yeah.
Because he always has taken care of you. Amen. The people who have their hand, Brother Walker said, if you have your hand closed, you can't get anything out, but nothing can come in.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to tell you that God expects us to be generous. We are Christians.
Yeah.
And we got more than we ever going to need anyway. Mm-hmm. And besides this world is not our home.
Amen.
We're just passing through here. All right, keep what verse are you in there, brother? You want to finish that verse?
Verse 10.
Okay.
Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food
uh-huh.
and multiply your seed.
Who multiplies our seed? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to tell you, we need to be understanding we're going to reap what we sow. Mm-hmm. It's not, if there's no other way around it.
Right.
It's an immutable principle that you're going to get back what you give.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, God will always take care of us. And you know what, Brother Williams, and I'm going to take a little side. In Hebrews 3, I'm going to show you who we are as Christians. In Hebrews 3 and verse 1, brother, what does it say there?
Wherefore, holy brethren,
uh-huh.
partakers of the heavenly calling,
yeah.
consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house.
Moses was faithful in his house. Okay, keep going.
For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses,
uh-huh.
inasmuch as he who had built the house hath more honor than the house.
You know, the architect has a lot of honor. You ever heard of Frank Lloyd Wright?
Mm-hmm.
some great, I was trying to look up some great architects. I could only find a few. Norman Foster. Mm. It's some great architects. Even though you look at the building, you're like, man, it's a great building. But you want to know who built the building.
Right.
And Moses was in the house. Moses was a part of the house. Keep going, brother.
For every house is builded by some man.
Uh-huh.
But he that buildeth all things is God.
Right.
And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant.
Now, Moses was a servant. Wouldn't you be happy to be just a servant in God's house? Mm-hmm. Moses was a servant in the house. Keep going, brother.
For a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after.
Uh-huh.
But Christ as a son
now,
over his
own. Who built the house? Christ. Mm-hmm. Which means nobody built anything but God, right? Yeah. Which means Christ is the son of who?
Over his own house.
Son of God. Okay, keep going.
Whose house we are.
Now we're not a servant. We're a family.
Amen.
Moses was a servant in the house. That would have been great for me.
Yeah.
But we're more than that. We are family in the house. That's a lot better than what Moses had.
Yeah.
What was the guy that went away? A prodigal son. The prodigal son went away and wasted his living on all of this stuff. And when he came back, the father said, I'm going to make you a servant. No, the father said, you are a son.
Amen.
That's what we are.
Yeah.
We're children. We're not servants in the house. We're the children in the house.
Amen.
And I'm trying to tell you, that's a lot more than Moses was.
Yes.
And you saw how many great things Moses did?
Mm-hmm.
And here we are. We're much more than that. And I'm trying to tell you, you're going to reap what you sow. Don't worry about who's going to take care of us. The Father always has.
Amen.
He always will. He's never let me down. And even when we go through some things, it's for our benefit.
Yes.
Sometimes you need a smack on the head.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes when your parents hit you, you needed it.
Yeah.
And you'd be mad, and then the next half hour, you'd be all up on the mom. And you say, I'm glad you whooped me. We must have been losing our mind. KJ cut his head down. Right now. I ain't glad of that. But what I'm saying is, we reap what we sow. And so, the Bible said in Romans 2:6, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who be patient and continuous and well-doing, seek for glory and honor and immortality and eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath. You're going to reap what you sow. You don't have to go to hell. It's your choice. But don't fool around with God. Think God's going to send you to heaven and you do it wrong. You're going to reap what you sow. I'm asking you to come down this aisle and give me your hand. Give Christ your heart. Say, I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I know that he'll take care of me like he always has. But you got to do it. That's why he said in 1 Timothy 6:7, we brought nothing into this world. And it's certain we shall not take anything out. You're not going to get it out of here. You might like grandmama's stove. You know, that one lady we went into Kentucky, she had a wood-burning stove, brother. You don't see those everywhere. You can't take that with you. That Cadillac you got, that BMW, whatever you driving, you can't take it with you. It brought nothing into this world, and guess what? We're not going to take anything. That's why Job understood. Job said, naked I came out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
You got to have the right attitude. When things go up, when things go down, God is still going to take care of us.
Amen.
God still has our best interest in mind.
Yes.
That was Job's attitude. They knocked everything down from Job, his family, his loved ones, his property, even his body. And Job said, still, I'm going to stick with God. Because you know why? He trusted in God. As soon as you start trusting in yourself, it's going to go bad. You start trusting in your money, it's going to go bad. You start trusting in your family, not that they don't love you, but they're only human. You start trusting in that job, guess what? You can lose that job. You start trusting in that home. You know how many people lost their homes through this last depression? You start trusting in that home thinking it's going to be there. The only thing we can depend on is God. And you're going to reap what you sow. I'm trying to tell you. We got to believe in him. One more thing I want you to realize. It's common sense that baptism is essential.
Yes,
I don't understand how you can read Acts 2:41. And then they that gladly received the word were baptized. The same day there were added about 3,000 souls. And I just, for the life of me, can't understand how you read Acts 8:12, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God at the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And how could you possibly read Acts 8:38, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went both into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And how could you continue to read in the book of Acts 9:18, and immediately there fell from his eyes as it were scales, and he received his sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And I don't get it when you read Acts 10:48, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and they prayed that they would tarry there certain days. And please explain to me in Acts 16 and verse 15, and when she was baptized and her household, she besought us saying. And please give me help me understand Acts 16:33. And they took them the same hour of the night and washed his stripes and were baptized, he and all of his straightway. And Acts 19 and verse 5, and when they had heard this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. And you tell me that Jesus Christ in Matthew 3, verse 16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, he went straightway up out of the water, and lo, of the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and the lightning upon him, and the voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. You listen to him." How do you see all of these people getting baptized, and you say, "You don't need to be baptized. It's just common sense." And you read the Bible over and over and over again, and people are going to lose their soul because some butcher has told them, "Oh, all you need to do is accept the Lord in your heart. You don't need to get wet. You know, you're worried about your hair. Are you worried about this? Don't worry about that. Worry about your soul." And I don't understand how you can read all that and still think you don't. So all men will die. And you're going to reap what you sow. And baptism is essential. Somebody said, "Well, preacher, what does the water have to do with anything?" Haven't you read the Bible? You remember when they crossed the Red Sea, they went through on dry ground, right? And the waters were congealed on the right and on the left. And you remember when they went across the Jordan Sea, the waters were congealed on the right and on the left. And you say, "What does water?" Water's been in the plan forever. You remember Naaman? Naaman was told to go and dip in the Jordan 7 times. And after the 7th time, he come up clean. Water's been in the plan. And you say, "Well, what does water have to do with it?" You remember when Jesus spat on the ground and he made spittle and he put it on the blind man's eyes and he anointed the blind man's eyes and he said, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." And he went, washed, and he came back seeing. You want to know what water had to do with it? God said you get in it. That's what water had to do with it. And the problem is we got more common sense than God now. We're smarter than God. And I don't want to mess up my hair, preacher. You know, I don't think it's right. I don't think you need to do it. Just do what God tells you to do. I'm trying to tell you. In Acts 2:38, he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you." In Acts 16:16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." In Acts 22:16, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord, washing your sins away." Baptism has always been in the plan. Common sense will tell us we're all going to die. And common sense is going to tell us we're going to reap what we sow. And common sense tells us that baptism is essential. Don't walk out of here today in an unsaved condition. What do you have to do? You have to hear his word, Romans 10:17. You got to believe what he says, Hebrews 11:6. And you got to repent, Luke 13:3. I tell you, man, unless you repent, you got to stop going down to the JoJo house. And you got to go stop going over there to Beatrice house or whoever house. You don't have any business going to over there. And stay away from the bar, and stay away from the bottle, and stay away from the drug. Just repent, turn away from that stuff. Did anybody say it was going to be easy?
No.
It's not easy, but it's worth your soul.
Amen.
You got to repent. And then you have to confess with the mouth. You have to confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Nobody can't do that for you. You have to do it for yourself.
Amen.
And you have to be baptized. Mark 16:16. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." I'm asking you today to just to show up a little bit of common sense, because a little bit of common sense will go a long way. Amen. They don't have to tell me that the coffee is hot from McDonald's. I already know that. And if I spill it on myself, I'm not going to sue you because you didn't have it on the cup. I'm trying to tell us today that God means what he says when he said what he meant. And I don't want anybody to be lost. I'm asking you to come down this aisle. I'm asking you, give me your hand, give Christ your arm. Just use a little common sense, because you know you're going toward the grave. If you don't, you just keep looking in the mirror. If these bags didn't get under my eyes, that's open. It takes time. I had to work at these bags. It takes time to get where God would have you to be. But it starts with the first step. The Bible says only a step. If you take that first step, God will take the second step. God will meet you wherever you are. So if you just move a little bit, God will move towards you. I'm asking you today to realize that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he has went through God has went through an elaborate plan to give us this gospel, that you could be saved and that I could be saved and that the whole world could be saved. And the people who don't get it are the people who don't have common sense. There's some people so egghead, they think they know everything. Yes, sir. I was talking to one guy about common sense. He said there is no common sense. I'm like, well, you got a problem. He said there is no common sense. No, maybe not with you. So I'm asking you today to believe what God says. If you're a Christian and haven't been living right, what better time to do that as together we stand and sing the song of invitation.
What a wonderful change in my life has been brought since Jesus came into my heart. I have life in my soul for which long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart.
Like the sea.